continue with our new theme for the month of August, which is spiritual living through love, caring, and compassion. I like that. You like that? I love that. That really is what we need right now in this world. And today is about a caring community, which you are. I have experienced so much of this mutual caring and support from so many of you this week. I have been present when there have been a few people together who opened their hearts to each other and supported each other with love. And it's a wonderful thing to see that taking place. I see it on our Centers for Spiritual Living field list, which is all the ministers of Centers for Spiritual Living all over the world. I see and read about people opening their hearts to each other and asking, reaching out and asking and getting all kinds of wonderful, wonderful responses, whether it's a problem with a daughter-in-law who's having a surgery, or whether it's a big happening in the world. We have prayers that instantly come from our ranks all over this world, whether it's Guam, Charlottesville. We are a caring community right here, a caring community within our greater Centers for Spiritual Living. And I know every time I experience these things that we're in our right place. We are the people doing the right thing. And there are a lot of us. Thank God we wouldn't be able to imagine doing it all by ourselves, and we don't do anything all by ourselves anyway, do we? Not by our own hand. Even our own creative intention, that's the beginning. But I of myself do nothing. That's a very important thing for us to remember right now. Because we look around at some of the events and we go, I guess nothing I can do about it. That's true. Not by ourselves. But what's so is that there is a great, creative, loving, magnificent, wise power that is present wherever we are. Each one of us is an individualized center of the love, the creativity, and the power of God. And then when we get together in a caring community like this, we are unstoppable. There isn't anything that can't be accomplished by our conscious, caring, creative intention. And I so love and admire and appreciate that about us. And it just keeps showing up. It's walking our talk is what it is. Because I could be up here going, wah, wah, you know. And it wouldn't help. It wouldn't help me, for heaven's sake. As Marianne Williamson said, in every community there is work to be done. In every nation, there are wounds to heal. In every heart, there is the power to do it. And especially when we bring our hearts together in this magnificent co-creative way, and that's what we do. I love what Rumi says. The wound is the place the light enters you. Have you ever considered some of your pain that has come from the past and maybe hasn't yet gotten all healed to be the wound where the light enters you? Because the light is infinite. The light is eternal. The light is omnipresent. There is no place that the light is not, although it doesn't always appear that way. But please, let's keep in mind that there aren't two things like dark and light. Darkness is not an entity of its own. It's the absence of light, which is why we are called upon to bring more light to those dark places, whether they're within ourselves that we're healing, that's the wound that's ready to be healed, whether it's within a family situation, whether it's in a neighborhood, whether it is in your workplace, community, the world. We're bringing the light. We didn't make it up. It's an attribute of the divine. Life, love, light, peace, power, beauty, and joy. And all of those qualities of the divine reside where? Let me hear it. In you, in me, in every sentient being, even those who haven't yet awakened to it. What a relief. We don't have to bring the light into anyone, but we use our light. As Agnes Sanford, who was the wife of an Episcopal priest, she had this wonderful healing presence, and she wrote a book called The Healing Light. And she said, "Will you take your light into the other person's darkness just long enough to lead them out of the darkness?" We don't stay there. This is why we don't watch too much TV, right? Because we could get too immersed in the negativity, in the relative stuff, and we'd forget that we are light bearers. We need to do a nice balance between getting a sense and knowing what's happening in the world, but not being absorbed by it, not being brought down by it, not letting our own lights get dimmed. This is the time that we need to shine them up more brightly. People need to feel the encouragement of the light that we bring to each other. We bring it to each other right here. I love it. I love it. Every time I see what you people do with each other, you know, it is absolutely amazing. Not really. I shouldn't be amazed by it, but I'm delighted by it. And I love seeing that this is a practical spirituality that we bring to each other. We bring it from our hearts. We bring it from our minds. We bring it from our souls. And besides that, we love each other and we like to play together. Did you notice this thing about a picnic that we just had up here? Well, you know, the world is not always a picnic, but we can make it so. We can do this work. And it's holy work. It's sacred work. This is true of every family. It's true in every workplace. And it all begins with the individual. So we want to strike that balance between seeing what's happening factually in the relative world and continuing to sustain and maintain our awareness of that which is true, eternal, and everlasting, because it's aligning ourselves with that remembrance, that true wisdom, that divine creative power, that infinite love that never ever stops flowing, no matter what it might look like. It's in aligning ourselves with it that we are able to bring the light. So we do the balance. Yes, I know what happened last night. Yes, I know what could be happening over here and there. I see that. I've read it. Thank you. I want to go. It's more than a flight to the light, because sometimes a flight to the light is denying that these things are taking place. They are taking place, but they don't need to continue. And they won't continue so long as most of the people stop giving power to it by being afraid of it or getting angry about it. The fear and the anger, well, they only add to the darkness. But the light dispels it. And the light that you have within you, you came into this planet with. You'll take it with you when you leave. But while you're here, let's share it. Let's flame up. Let's shine it brighter. How do we do that? Meditation, affirmative prayer, visioning. We utilize the tools. It wasn't just Ernest Holmes who gave us these tools. We come from a long legacy of love and wisdom. Some of us are actually taking an online course right now of 3 weeks with Reverend Amy Shukat on the Kabbalah. And, oh, she gave us some wonderful history yesterday. And I'm excited about getting all the pieces put together. So that's, you know, this is like predating many, many philosophies and religions, and it's exciting and wonderful. We look back. Ernest Holmes said that he took the best from the great philosophers, from the great theologians, from the great scientists, and brought something together that's very practical called science of mind. And in bringing this together, we're able to live our lives in a deeply spiritual and practical way. It's practical. It's sweet. It's beautiful. It's powerful. And it isn't just a lovely bunch of words. That's what my teacher Barney used to say. When you're doing your prayer treatment, when you are speaking your truth, make sure you're really feeling what you're saying. Don't let it just be an LBOW, a lovely bunch of words, or coconuts, or whatever. Usually people come into this wonderful philosophy through the mind, because it makes sense. The intellect gets it. The heart ultimately gets it, when we realize that the feeling is combined with the intention, the mental intention. And then we realize, as I said, we're not doing any of it by ourselves. We're opening ourselves to this great creative power, which is loving, wise, wonderful, infinite, without any limit whatsoever. Infinite possibilities. We're opening ourselves to it, and we're becoming empowered. What happens upstairs with the kids? We're empowering them. We're reminding them of who they are from the very beginning. They don't grow up in this teaching with a sense that there's a God and a devil, or that God is in the sky, and that no matter what, you can blame it on something outside of yourself. Because we learn about the joy of responsibility. And we also learn about how we are co-creating. I grew up in this teaching. I'm deeply grateful for that. And I've heard people say to me, oh, I wish I had started when I was as young as you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when we finally awaken to the presence of love and the power of creativity and wisdom within us. It's right now that matters. People have said, oh, it must have been so easy for you growing up in this teaching. And I would remind them, I got to be a teenager. I had my own challenges, but the beauty of it was I knew what to do. I knew where to go. Because I was taking early classes, foundational classes, when I was 13. So I knew what to do, and I'd go pick up my Science of Mind textbook. And we can do that right now. Or we can just go quietly and deeply into our hearts and our own meditations. Because this is when we leave the outside world long enough to remember who we are, to remember this great creative power and presence that's within us. And we see what's going on in the relative world, and we come back to the absolute. So it's not just a flight to light where we deny that things are happening. We know that things are happening, but we know they don't need to continue. As our wonderful Dr. Tom Costa in Palm Desert used to say, when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, don't stop and put up a condo. Not even a tent. Keep walking. And that's what Rumi says too. Keep walking. And we keep walking. Especially, isn't it wonderful to have companions like right here who are walking along with us on the way? Yes, that's what a caring community is about. We know the truth and we face the facts through a very clear vision. Because the truth does not change. The truth that you are a beloved in the heart and mind of God. The truth is that you are a co-creator with this infinite wisdom. That doesn't change. We just get to connect with it and to learn how to use this wonderful, wonderful law. So our hearts are wide open enough to embrace each other here. And our minds are clear enough to support a greater idea for everyone. So, you know, it's just not a kindness to go into someone else's drama. There was a former nun who started writing greeting cards with wonderful expressions on them. This was in the 70s. I don't know if any of you were alive then, but... One of her cards, I'll never forget, it said, make your melodrama a melodrama. A melodrama. We have the power to change our reactions to the past. We have the power to look at the things that we felt hurt about, resentful, angry, injustice and so forth that may have taken place, we have the ability to reframe those experiences to the degree that we realize, well, they brought us to where we are right now. I can't be angry with them. They brought me to where I am right now. I'm at a new point of co-creation and infinite power that's available, and it's a wonderful thing. So it is a kindness to enter together with another person into the heart of God. And that's just a gentle invitation. And it's one that's hard to refuse when it comes genuinely from your heart, and it does. So we work together in the two or more consciousness in order to reveal healing individually and in our communities and globally. I remembered this the other day that I hadn't shared with you, hadn't thought about for a little while, but I think most people know five lessons from the geese. You don't? Oh, good. All right. Here's the first one. As each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the birds that follow. Sounding familiar? And by flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds 71% greater flying range. By flying in V formation with the whole flock. Now, our care groups, and there's a care leaders meeting today, and there'll be more care groups beginning soon, now that we're coming into the fall and all these great new things are about to happen, some changes in leadership, but even in ongoing care groups, some of the roles are changing. They're supposed to change. That's part of the beauty of it. But that is a great example of how we're adding a 71% lift, is that these people care about each other and about different things, whether it's cooking or hiking or reading books or becoming wise women or wise men. So many opportunities. But each of these working together creates a greater uplift. All right, and then whenever a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of trying to fly alone, and it quickly gets back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in front of it. That's what I've been seeing this week. People wise enough to say, I need some help. I'm here opening my heart. I might be shaken a little bit, but I am trusting that I don't have to do this by myself. It's great. It's wonderful. You're not a goose, but you'd be a goose if you didn't ask for help. Lesson two. If we have as much sense as a goose, we will stay in formation with those who are headed where we want to go and be willing to accept their help as well as give ours to others. You see, it works both ways. You know, sometimes you're here, sometimes you're there. It's like that wonderful image that I have loved all my life of a ladder of life, where each rung that I'm walking on, I have a hand up here and someone's helping me move forward. And I have a hand down here and I'm helping someone else to come on up the rungs. So when a goose gets tired, it rotates back into the formation and another flies at the point position. See, we have rotating leadership in many ways here. So there are no lone rangers. There's no I of myself. It's always two or more in this co-creative activity. Lesson three, it pays to take turns doing the hard tasks and sharing leadership with people. As with geese, we are independent. interdependent with each other. So the geese in formation honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. Is that great? That's why they honk. I'm serious. I've studied this. They do it in order to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. Let's go. They're backseat flyers. We want to be mindful and grateful about each other's abilities and celebrate them. And lesson four, we need to make sure our honking from behind is encouraging and not something else. This is important. This is one of the reasons we wear those complaint-free world bracelets. We want to make sure that what we're honking about is, you're wonderful, thank you for doing that. And we continue to encourage and we continue to honk each other. So when a goose gets sick or wounded or shot down, two geese drop out of the formation and follow it down to help to protect it. And they stay there until it is able to fly again or dies. And then they launch out on their own with another formation, or they catch up with the flock. How do they know to do these things? If your daughter were here, she would say, it's instinct. It's intuition. So we acknowledge the situation of the person who's having trouble, and we care lovingly and appropriately, and we never, ever lose sight of their divine perfection while they're going through it. That's very important. If we slipped into, oh, you poor thing, that would be like the blind leading the blind, and everybody falls into the ditch. So we don't give advice. We do not enable. We truly help. And here's the fifth lesson. If we have as much sense as geese do, we too will stand by each other in difficult times as well as when we're the strongest. We have enough sense. We have maybe even more sense than a goose. You know, so the next time someone calls you a silly goose, you'll know what they mean. So I love continuing to observe you, magnificent people, continuing to love and support each other through difficult circumstances and then celebrate each other in the fun times. That's what a caring community does. What do we do if we disagree with a person we care about? Does that ever happen? Did you ever have a disagreement with someone you love a lot? Big time, did you say? You eat chocolate and feed it to the other person? Let me think about that. How about if we feel wronged or rejected or misunderstood? Ever have any of that happen? This is where the rubber hits the road. This is where we get to see if we're really living our teaching. Well, remember that wonderful poem by Edwin Markham? He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. I get God bumps every time I say that last line. We drew a circle that took him in. That's not necessarily approving of the behavior. It's seeing beyond it long enough to draw forth the reality, the truth, the real identity of that beloved. So let's not criticize each other. Let's honk each other. You want to try that right now? Just think of something. Yeah. Think of all the wonderful things everybody does here. And turn to somebody you appreciate. Let's honk them. Honk. 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 We got one flying back there. See, your honking got her flying even more strongly. That is so awesome. So this is not only a complaint-free zone, we're establishing it as that. It is also a place of uplift. It's a caring community that encourages and nurtures. A caring community that desires all of its members to succeed. And those who are coming in yet, that we haven't even met yet, we are encouraging them to succeed as well. It's a caring community that embraces love and the self-givingness of God to one another. So will you say with me, I bring my best to my beloved community. I bring my best to my beloved community. I am grateful for the conscious, creative work we do together. I am grateful for the conscious, creative work we do together. This is a caring, compassionate community. This is a caring, compassionate community. So my beloveds, beginneth your lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community as together we create a world that works for all.